Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
This story is not a rags-to-riches story. This is a riches-to-rags story. And in fact, Moses is discovering in this that he's not very strong. He thought he had it handled. He thought he had it nailed. He had all the answers. He knew what was up. And now he's feeling humiliated. And this is what needs to happen to Moses, because the work God is doing through the people of Israel and finally through Christ is a story of help coming through humiliation.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. For those desiring to do mighty works unto the Lord, be advised, Scripture cautions that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's a lesson even Moses needed to learn long before God could use him as a leader for the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. And in a teaching he calls A Great Hero Emerges, Pastor Greg reveals how God's grace is given to those who humbly acknowledge that they cannot succeed in their own strengths and abilities. Let's listen now.
We're working our way through the book of Exodus, Redemption in the Wilderness. So you can turn there just to chapter 11 through 25, and we want to place this account in history so we understand what we're talking about. Exodus occurs near the beginning of the Bible. If you're having trouble finding it, it's near the front. Exodus occurs and is telling us the history of God's people, but it's not merely the history of God's people so that we might have some interesting historical facts. God has made some promises that he intends to fulfill through the people of Israel, and Exodus is telling us how he's going to do that. God made a promise to Abraham that through Abraham's seed, through a man, the serpent's head would be crushed. The first mention of the gospel really in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that he would have many, many, many children and his generations would be as a multitude as big as the sands on the seashore. And that through his children, the whole world would be blessed. So again, an echo of the gospel, Abraham, through you the Messiah will come to save the world from their sin. And now we have an Exodus, these people, the sons of Abraham, the sons of Isaac, the sons of Jacob, and they find themselves in Egypt, under slavery. And so the book of Exodus is not merely about how do the people of Israel get out of Egypt through the desert to the promised land. The book of Exodus is one chapter in a grand story of God telling us how he's going to provide a Savior to us. And so as we're working it through, we want to continue to notice the patterns of God's work of redemption in the book of Exodus and the people of Israel and their great hero. That's the title of the message, if you like titles. A Great Hero Emerges. A Great Hero Emerges. We like rags to riches stories. It's kind of like the American story, I think. Local kid makes good. You might think of a guy like Larry Ellison. Have you ever heard of Larry Ellison? He started a company called Oracle, a little mom-and-pop software store. I'm being sarcastic. It's a very large company. But he had a very rough life. His mom couldn't raise him. His dad had abandoned him. He was raised by his aunt and uncle. And then when he got into college, he's, of course, a very smart guy. He finally had to drop out of college in order to get a job to care for his aunt who was taking care of him. And it was finally later in life, he finally got out to California, got into a government contract and started at Oracle. And now it's worth billions of dollars. He's a billionaire. Rags to riches story. It's really kind of cool, isn't it? Guy using his wits and his hustle and his stick-to-itiveness and he makes good. And we love that kind of thing. And so we might think of the book of Exodus, especially as it relates to Moses, as a rags to riches story. Moses, a baby of slaves, a cast off in a very literal sense, in danger from the moment of his birth, and then through happenstance, so to speak, he's adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and now he's living in Pharaoh's palace. And now not only that, Moses, having lived his life 40 years as a son of the Pharaoh, is now going to make good on his commitment to the people of Israel, and he's going to save Israel. This is a rags-to-riches story. A guy finally makes good, local kid, does great. Well, let's look at what happens. A great hero emerges. Look at verse 11 of Exodus 2, if you don't mind. One day when Moses had grown up, We'll look at it in a minute, but over in Acts 7, we discover this is 40 years. He's 40 years old now. He went out to his people. Notice that. His people, who are the people of Israel. So at the age of 40, at some point in his life, he had determined, I'm not Egyptian. My people aren't the Egyptian people. My people are the Hebrew people. So he went out to his people, and he looked on their burdens. They weren't his burdens. He wasn't a slave. He lived in a palace. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. One of, what's it say? His people. So twice in one sentence it says his people. We have to be assured here. Moses says, I am a son of Israel, a son of Jacob, a Hebrew. So verse 12, he looked this way and that. He looked this way and that way, just the two ways. He should have looked a couple of other ways. But he didn't see anyone, so he killed the Egyptian. He struck him down. He murdered him. And he hid him in the sand. I mean, yeah, there was nobody looking when he kills the guy, but it takes a half an hour to bury a body unless you have an arm and a leg hanging out. So at some point, though, somebody saw him, we discover. He didn't get away with it. So he kills this Egyptian, and that goes back. He's probably feeling pretty good for himself. The great hero is emerging. Here comes Moses, the savior of the people of Israel. Well, he went out the next day, probably walking a little bit like this. Here comes Moses. And he saw two Hebrews struggling together. Now, about this, the way it's worded here is it's worded in such a way it's identical to what was happening before. Before he had an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Now there's a Hebrew beating a Hebrew. They're not merely struggling. One guy is wronging another guy. And he goes out and he sees these two guys struggling. And he goes to the one who's in the wrong, the one beating his fellow Hebrew. And he says, what are you doing? Why do you strike your companion? And the guy in the wrong answers him this way in verse 14. Who made you a prince and judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? So he's caught. He's busted. Right in that moment, all of a sudden, the blood would have drained from his face. And the sweat. If you've ever been caught doing something bad, no, nobody here, right? All of a sudden, you know it's out there. Oh, man, I didn't think anybody knew about that. Sweat trickles down your back. And then you already, what are the excuses? I didn't see him. I drive my car. I don't know what happened. Surely this thing is known, Moses discovers. In fact, verse 15 tells us Pharaoh discovered it and wanted to kill Moses. And so what does Moses do? He runs for his life to the people of Midian. A great hero emerges, fight and flight. Moses has, maybe he has in his mind this idea that he's the next Joseph. You remember Joseph? He saved Israel by rising to the highest ranks of power in Egypt and using his power and influence to save the people of Israel, and really, in fact, to save Egypt and the known world from a famine. And maybe Moses had in his mind, I'm the next Joseph, the next big cheese of Egypt that's going to save the people of Israel. And what happens? He's running for his life. Now, we shouldn't be too hard on Moses over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. We know that at the least his heart was in the right place. This is what the book of Hebrews says about Moses. It was by faith that Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose instead to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to an eternal reward. So Moses, by faith, knew he was a Hebrew and he wanted to suffer with the Hebrews, but he had somehow in his mind decided that he got to be the great hero of the people of Israel, that he was going to save them. But now he is running for his life to the land of Midian. This was important to Stephen over in Acts chapter 7. You may want to turn there because we're going to spend just a minute or two looking at this sermon by Stephen. Stephen is preaching this sermon as a defense against the Jews who felt that he was a heretic. You should know that at the end of this sermon, he gave an invitation. And a lot of people came forward with rocks to kill him. How often is the gospel responded to? Every time it's responded to. 100% response rate. It's either believed or rejected. And this was Stephen had to say about Moses in the last sermon he ever gave before he was killed. This is verse 23 of Acts chapter 7. He says this, when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. That's great. Seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand. He supposed that Israel might say, this guy's going to save us. He supposed wrong. On the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling, and he tried to reconcile them, saying, guys, brothers, why are you wronging each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. See, the people of Israel were smart in Egypt. They knew that if Moses came in making a bunch of business with the Egyptians, what's going to happen? Life is going to get harder, not easier. If the Egyptians get riled up, they're just going to make the Hebrews' lives harder. We know this is true because later on when Moses returns to Egypt and he confronts Pharaoh, what happens? Pharaoh says to the Hebrews, you know, I've got an idea. You've got a lot of bricks to make, but you know what? I'm tired of supplying you with straw. You've got to now supply your own straw by walking all over the countryside collecting it to make your bricks. But your quota of bricks will not be reduced in spite of the fact that you have more work to do. The people of Israel did not like this. Moses, knock it off. Life is hard, but let's not make it harder. So they thrust him aside. Israel wanted freedom from their slavery. Listen, we're going to discover this. They didn't necessarily want God. Israel wanted freedom from their slavery, freedom from their burdens, but they didn't necessarily want God. Look at verse 35 of Acts chapter 7. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who has made you a ruler and a judge? This man, God, sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. The fact is, Moses was sent to them as their savior, as their redeemer, and they rejected him. How many times did Israel reject Moses? It's hard to keep count. What day is it? They only rejected him on days that ended in Y. They rejected him when he first came, and he fled for his life. They rejected him when he came again, and they said, Moses, knock it off. They rejected him out in the wilderness. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. They had wandered out in the wilderness following Moses and Aaron, and they get out there and realize what? Nobody packed a lunch. The people of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, oh, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. What do we call that? Looking back to the good old days. It was so good back in Egypt. In fact, listen, we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full. Oh, Egypt was so great. It was like having a campsite in hometown buffet. I mean, sure, they worked us to death. Sure, they separated us from family. Sure, they would beat us for no reason, but meat pots. They rejected him there. They rejected him later when they ran out of water. They rejected him later again when they ran out of water again. They rejected him when he went out up on Mount Sinai to get the law. What'd they say to Aaron? We don't know what happened to Moses. He's been up on that mountain for 40 days. You know what you ought to do is make us an idol. We'll worship it and have a party. They rejected him then. They rejected him every time they encountered any kind of difficulty. Snakes in the sand. They rejected him because his wife was a Cushite. They rejected him when they faced other enemies. Moses was rejected by the people over and over and over and over again. Because Israel wanted freedom from slavery, they did not want God. Israel cried out to God because of their suffering, but notice what they didn't pray for. Early in the book of Exodus, they never prayed for, God, show us how to worship you. Did they know how to worship him? No, the law hasn't been given yet. God, show us how to be in your presence and be saved from our sin. Did they ever ask for that? No, just get us out of this slavery. God, show us where you would like your dwelling to be. Maybe you would like a tabernacle of some sort. Did they ask for that? No, God, just get us out of this slavery. Israel didn't pray for the tabernacle. Israel didn't pray for the law that they might know how to worship God. All they prayed for was freedom from their suffering, but God was doing something much bigger than simply trying to make their lives better. Israel wanted God only if he would help in the specific ways they expected God to help. If God does everything you ever wanted in the way you want it, guess what? He's not God, you are. I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't want you to feel bad about this. It's true for all of us. You're not very good at being God. People of Israel rejected leaders throughout their history. They rejected their kings when they led them towards the Lord. They rejected their judges. They rejected Moses. They constantly did this because they continually felt that the people sent to deliver them were delivering the wrong things. Kings, judges, prophets kept being sent to them to deliver them from their separation from God into the presence of God, and they didn't want that. They wanted their problems to go away. So Moses says this in Deuteronomy 18:15. You might want to turn there. He finally comes to the realization that Israel is never going to accept him as their redeemer because he is never going to provide the kind of help that they are looking for. This is what Moses says to the people of Israel at the end of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him that you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words that he speaks to them, I myself will require it of them. Who was that prophet? Jesus, and that's why Stephen was preaching that sermon. He said, listen, folks, they rejected Moses. The greater prophet has showed up, and now you're rejecting him too. Because he didn't save you from Rome. Instead, he died on a cross. So once again, this pattern of how God intends to work is to redeem us from what matters, not redeem us from the little things that we're very concerned about. And when God does that, we tend to get very frustrated. So Moses runs and he hides in the land of Midian because he thought he was the great hero. He ends up running for his life. He's not the hero he thought. And in fact, the people for a time lose their deliverer because he is not the hero that they want. Okay, one little thing before we move on to this next part of this. There's a very, very simple way to sort of apply this. Don't miss Jesus. And the way we miss Jesus by following the pattern of the people of Israel is this, is we have a lot of stress, a lot of stuff in our life that is really awful. And some of it like isn't just sort of awful, it's like really, really bad end of the world kind of stuff. The danger is in the midst of the most difficult things of life is we miss Jesus. Because we become convinced, unless this thing goes away, Jesus isn't who he says he is. And it just might be that Jesus is everything he has said he is, even in the midst of that terrible trouble. One of the dangers of suffering and difficulty in life is we will miss Jesus because we will decide he's kind of a jerk. And if Moses is a pattern for us, which he is, and if Christ is who he says he is, which he is, Jesus can redeem the most important thing, even in the midst of the hardest troubles we might face. Don't miss him, even in the hard stuff. All right, Moses couldn't save the people of Israel, obviously, at this point, so what should he do? Look at verse 16 of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus 2, back in Exodus 2, verse 16. A great hero emerges, provides help, and is humiliated. So he went to Midian, and he sat down by a well. He was thirsty. Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they were going out to the well in order to water their flocks. They were shepherdesses. And then what would happen is they would go to the well to water their flocks, and the other shepherds, the men shepherds, would come and they would harass these seven daughters of the priest of Midian. In fact, they would run them off. You don't get to be here at the well. This is a man's well. We do man's stuff. Go away. Moses isn't going to have this. So Moses, this kind of hardwired into him as this helper, savior, superhero, he drives away the other shepherds. He drives them all away, and he goes gets the shepherdesses, and not only does he say the well is safe now, he even waters their flock for them. He says, come on over, take a break. You've had a hard day. This has been kind of stressful. Moses then waters all of their flock for them, and then they return home, and their father says to him, why are you back so early? Normally you go there and then you have to wait far away till the men are all done watering their flocks, and then you go and get to water your flock. Usually it's much later in the day. And they said, well, hey, we met this guy and he saved us from the other shepherds and he watered our flocks. He even watered our flocks. That's how it's worded in there. He didn't have to water our flocks. He even watered our flocks. And the dad says, would you invite him over for dinner? Oh, I didn't think of that. Well, go get him. Guy with seven daughters. He's like, I found one guy. God, ladies, keep your eyes open. I don't know if that's what he's saying, but probably was. Those nomadic cultures, the guy walks by. There, get that guy. All right. So he invites him home, and in fact, it says that Moses contented himself to dwell with the man, and in fact, Moses married his daughter Zipporah, and she gave birth to a son, and Moses called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. I don't have a home. I'm an illegal alien, never to have a legal residence. I'm a Hebrew, and the Hebrews have rejected me. I am an Egyptian, and the Egyptians want to kill me. I'm just some guy in the desert now. I don't even know that I matter. Moses is still a hero. He's still a helper. But now he discovers exactly what he is capable of doing. First of all, is he capable of saving Israel from Egypt? No. Total failure. But he can save shepherds. Seven of them. How do you think he's feeling right now? He's lived 40 years of his life in the highest halls of power in the most powerful nation on planet Earth. And now he discovers his skill set is he can save seven shepherds. I mean, maybe that was nice of him, but he's going, what's that mean? See, this story is not a rags to riches story. This is a riches to rags story. This is a guy who had everything and realized he had nothing. He was rejected by Israel, and in fact, Moses is discovering in this that he's not very strong. He's not the big stuff he thought he was. He thought he had it handled. He thought he had it nailed. He had all the answers. He knew what was up. And now he's feeling pretty good. I mean, he saved those seven ladies. A great hero emerges. He provides help, but he is humiliated. And this is what needs to happen to Moses, because we're going to discover the work God is doing through the people of Israel and finally through Christ is a story of help coming through humiliation. This is a pattern God is establishing in His Scripture to show us help is coming from the humiliated, not the glorified. Look at John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. The gospel writer says this about Jesus. Jesus was in the world. The world was made by Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. It shouldn't surprise anybody on reading this. You say, I've heard this plot line before. I know that how this works. That sounds just like Moses. Because God has already established that He is going to bring deliverance, not through the powerful and mighty and glorified. He is going to bring deliverance through the low and the humiliated. Jesus, like Moses, was rejected by Israel. In fact, He was rejected by all of us. And so, in fact, now He goes to the foreigners, not the religious, not the elite, not the powerful, not the spiritual. Instead, He goes to who? You and me. Dirty, rotten sinners. And He says, I who knew no sin will become sin that you might have the righteousness of God in me, that you might be blessed in receiving salvation even in your sin.
Pastor Greg Spires, drawing a lesson of humility and leadership from the life of Moses, titled A Great Hero Emerges. And there's much more to come from this study from Exodus chapter 2 next time on Lasting Hope. We'd like to invite you to listen each week at this same time for more encouragement from God's Word. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Having grown up in the Rogue Valley, Greg's love of God's Word, the Bible, came alive when he attended Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. His desire with Lasting Hope is that people would become more interested in the Bible, because that's where we discover who God is and the hope He has for us.
And if you'd like more information about Pastor Greg or the various ministries of FBC, just visit lastinghope.org. While you're there, you can also sign up for Pastor Greg's weekly Lasting Hope newsletter. In it, Greg shares biblical wisdom, encouragement, and hope. Just sign up when you go to lastinghope.org. Finally, if you don't have a church home of your own, we invite you to join Greg for our online service Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For the time being during this concern over COVID-19, we'll be meeting online. Join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg. Just go to lastinghope.org at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Exodus with the second part of our message titled, A Great Hero Emerges. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.